Psalms 43:5. You know, if you don't memorize verses, let me encourage you, that's a great one. David's doing self-talk in that psalm. He's talking to himself. He's like, what's your problem? Why are you bummed out? Why are you disquieted? What's going on? Don't forget, the Lord died for you. The Lord saved you. That's what that verse is doing in Psalms. It's self-talk, right? And it's not like, hey, it's speaking something to existence. It's none of that garbage. But it's like the importance of knowing Scripture and using Scripture to do spiritual warfare. Because spiritual warfare always happens inside of us first, in our mind, right? And so we got to have these verses kind of playing into what we're going to talk about today here in the training of righteousness, which is the second portion of chapter 4. But before we go there, you know, let me just remind you guys too, you know, with the events that are happening, right? You know, I don't know if you've heard or not, but America, you know, bombed Iraq yesterday. And people are like, what's going on? Is this Ezekiel 38? The answer is no, no. There's people out there already saying this is the Ezekiel 38 war. And it's like, no. However, I will tell you this. The stage is getting set, because you know who's coming to Iran's defense right now? Russia and China. And so what does that mean for us, okay? We can get all caught up. We're going to talk a little bit about that today, but we can get all caught up in the current events. And the idea is that we're watchmen, and we're supposed to understand what's going on around us. And even though it's happening all the way over there and you don't have control over it, there is what's called the ripple effect. You guys know what that is? You take a rock, you throw it in a pond, right? The splash happens way over there, but the ripples spread. And so, you know, there's going to definitely be ripple effect. They've already retaliated this morning against Israel and sent some heavier artillery in. Some of it got through. But remember, the big thing that everybody is forgetting is they are already loaded against us. What do I mean by that? They already have their people here. Okay? That's the danger of the open borders. So just keep in mind, keep your head up. We do not walk in fear, but we need to have understanding of the times. And, you know, America is not mentioned in end time prophecy. And there's a couple reasons that I believe in that. One, the Bible's about Israel. It's not about America, right? And the second thing is something has to happen to take us out of the game. And so what does that look like? We don't quite know. But if we're ready spiritually, it doesn't really matter. All right, but keep your heads up. Understand what's going on. All right, we are in Timothy in the fourth chapter. Remember chapter 1, sound doctrine, avoid against false teachers. Chapter 2, the praying church, specifically the praying men. Also the roles of women. Chapter 3, the qualification of elders and deacons. And then chapter 4, the falling away, which we covered last week. And then the training of righteousness, which is going to be this week. And even though this is written to Timothy, who, you know, was a young prodigy of Paul, he was a pastor of the church of Ephesus, it doesn't mean, oh, I don't need to read this letter because it's addressed to the pastor. Well, there's a lot of principles that we can apply, because the pastor is a member of the church. So whatever kind of qualifications, yeah, there's a little higher expectation, but whatever is being told to Timothy, we also need to look at as an example of how our lives are. Because after all, I ask this question quite often, but how many of us are in full-time ministry? And the answer is we should all be in that, right? Because that is our call, to be the representation of Christ to this earth. You are the body. You're the physical representation. And so even though you're not standing up here this morning, when you go out into your families, to your workplaces, to your neighborhoods, you are the representation. You are the mouthpiece. You are the voice. And that's why we are to walk worthy of that calling, that our witness, our evidence given, declares who we are, that matches our words. And so we move on to the second portion of chapter 4, starting in verse 6. Paul is told this. And so remember, even though Paul is telling Timothy that you do this as part of the hearers, you should also be receiving this. And he says there, if you instruct the brethren, who's the brethren, guys? Us. These things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Nourish the words of faith and of good doctrine, which you have carefully followed. But reject profane and old wives' fables, and exercise yourself towards godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little. A lot of you guys are like, amen, that's why I don't do it. Just a little. But godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that is now and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. These things command and teach. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will have saved both yourself and those who hear you. All right, there's a lot there. But in this, he makes a transition, telling Timothy, hey, this is really what you should be doing. This is the focus of the church. Now, a lot of times when we start asking what is church and what church should be, right, you get lots of things. You see on Facebook, hey, you just moved to the area. What's a good church? And people chime in and go, oh, it's a welcoming place. We welcome all of those. Oh, there's great kids ministry. There's great this. There's great that. You know? And it's like, but did it list any of these things? And it, if you look at it and examine it, it says, hey, this is the seriousness of really getting into the Word of God, because it protects you against the false teachers, against the false doctrine. Take heed. There's a sense of urgency. There's a sense of, man, you better really dedicate yourself to this. And that tells us something. That tells us that we are easily given to those things. We love the tickling of the ear. And sometimes the truth is hard. And so it's easy to ignore that or to look the other way. Because when the truth comes out, it forces me into a situation. Do I deal with it or not? Do I continue in my sin or do I deal with this? Well, I kind of like this, right? Complacency, comfort, thinking however I want to think, creating your own God. Well, my God allows me to do this. My God says it's okay. My God says, okay, whatever, but is that what the Bible says? Well, that's outdated. You guys have heard this stuff. Maybe you've even thought it, right? I mean, we've progressed so much now that the Bible is just not really relevant to us. Because we're so stinking smart Yeah, we're smart. You know, we do an electrical business, right? And when the lights go out and there's no power, people are real smart. I don't know what to do. Oh my goodness. I'm going to starve to death. Huh? If I don't have power on, everything in my freezer is going to go rotten. Huh? No, it's not. I told Heidi, I says, let's go a month without going to the store. We're not going to go to the store for a month. She's like, yeah, right. You're going to run out of ice cream. That ain't going to work. But if I say, hey, you can't go to the store for a month, and if you get fearful with that, you know what that tells me? You're not ready. If I say you can't go to the store for a week, oh, I can't, then you're not ready. What if I say I'm going to come to your house, turn the power off for a day? Oh, no, then you're not ready. Now, where am I going with this? Because spiritually speaking, if you lose everything, are you going to go, I'm in trouble, I can't survive, I can't exist? Or are you going to go, hey, I have faith. And yeah, I don't understand everything. Doesn't make sense to me. Neither did it make sense to the children of Israel, as the Lord just did these miracles, these 10 miracles, and he obviously was shown mighty in Egypt as he allowed the Israelites to escape. In fact, at the end, the Egyptians were throwing their gold to them, going, get out of here, take everything we have. And they're like, okay. They witnessed this miracle. And then they get out there, and they hear thunder in the background. It wasn't thunder. It was the horses of the largest army in known time, at that time, coming after them. And they looked this way. There's like, there's mountains there. There's mountains there. There's this sea in front of us. We're in an impossible situation. I guess God doesn't love us. I guess he's not there. You see, God will often put us in those situations so he can show himself mighty. He's, listen, if there were mountains there, but no mountains there, they could be like, all right, let's go this way. And then they could say, man, we made a good decision. But you see, it was impossible. They couldn't climb the mountains. They couldn't go across the sea. They couldn't face the army. And so the only hope was God had to intervene. This is important to understand because spiritually speaking, if we're not sounded in the Word of God, we are going to give up. Or we're going to be given to a false teaching. You guys see the importance of this. And so again, going back to this, he says, Timothy, you need to instruct the brethren. Instruct the church. This is the first thing he mentions. This is the first number one priority of the church is to instruct them. And I'm not talking about, hey, I got a funny story to tell to help the illustration today. Those things can be useful, but is it as powerful as just teaching the Word of God? I'm going to make you feel good today. Or is it like, hey, here's what the Bible says. So instruct the brethren in these things, and you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ. You will be a good servant of Jesus Christ. And that's what it's all about. We're not here to glorify ourselves. We're not here to build a name for ourselves. We're not here to build a mega church. We're here to serve Jesus Christ. And listen, that can happen with one person. Or 1,000 people, it doesn't matter. But the purpose of the church is to instruct the brethren. That is serving the Lord. Now we may think, oh no, serving the Lord is going and knocking on doors. Serving the Lord is going and doing all this other stuff. True, because yes, we can also share the word of God during that time. But listen, we have other people to help us out with that, because our main focus, my main focus, is to instruct you. The purpose of the church is for the equipping of you guys so that you guys can go out and do the work of the ministry. I mean, if I instruct 80 of you guys and all 80 of you guys go out, way more powerful than if I just go out. I think it's called compound interest, yeah? And then we nourished in the words of faith and good doctrine which you have carefully followed. So see, here we've got some things. True spiritual nourishment is faith and good doctrine. That's it. And they both come together. Romans, faith comes by what? Hearing what? The word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And that's what's so important also about fellowship. If I come over to you and I'm like, hey, what's going on in your life? And you're like, man, the Lord is doing this and the Lord is doing that. And it's like, wow, that's building my faith. We're so accustomed to, like, if somebody comes up and says, how's it going? Okay, well, let me pull out my list of the 10 bad things that's happened to me this week. Well, you know, I'm struggling here, struggling there. And we understand, we help each other in that. But when's the last time you said, man, God is just being faithful without even mentioning the struggles? Whoa, I'm behind. The army's coming. I'm in front of the sea. I got these mountains here. And oh, man. How are you doing today? Oh, man, I'm in a bad spot. And I just can't wait to see what God's going to do. Try that. Because your words will declare your heart. Did you know that? And if your words say, oh, I'm in a tight spot, I don't know what I'm going to do, it's declaring you have no faith. But when you stand there and go, man, I'm in a spot and I can't wait to see what God's going to do. He's going to do something miraculous. He's going to part a stinking sea. I have no idea what he's going to do, how he's going to do it, but I'm waiting upon him. Right? Some of you need to hear that today. Some of you need to say, man, my mouth is evidence of what I believe. And yeah, we have moments of lapse in our faith. We all do. We all do. I mean, the 12 that lived with him for 3.5 years saw miracle after miracle after miracle. How many times did they get in a boat and being like, we're going to die? Spiritual high. They just saw Jesus feed like 5,000 with a couple fish and some loaves of bread. Could you imagine the conversation? Where'd all those fish come from? We had one fish in the basket and we just kept reaching in there and it just fish. What? God is so great. What was that? Whoa. Did you feel that wave? Oh, yeah, it was nothing. Man, you know, we were parting the bread. And, whoa. We're going to die. There's a ghost walking towards us. He's coming to take us to the afterlife. It's Jesus going, what's y'all's problem? If you're interested in that version of the Bible, it's Bill's redneck version. The BRV. But yeah, we get so caught up in this. But listen, this is important because note that word in 6. It says nourished. You know, we can so apply this to physical food. We can eat Twinkies. Tastes good. Maybe not Twinkies. I got a Twinkie story for you. When Heidi was pregnant with Rebecca, we went to Sam's Club. And you know Sam's Club, you know, bulk, yeah? Bulk. Box of Twinkies. We got the cash register. There were three left. She denies it to this day. But she can't stand Twinkies anymore. I wouldn't either after I ate a case of them in a matter of, like, what? How long are you in Sam's Club? But hey, she was pregnant, so it's kind of okay. I don't know. Do you like Twinkies, Rebecca? Nope. She's like, stop! I've had enough. Anyway. Bill, you said no fun stories. I don't know. But you get the point, right? We can eat them. Now, how much nutrition is in that? But it tastes good. You fill in the blank. Maybe it's whatever for you. But it's like, yeah, you need the true food. And listen, after a while, you cut the garbage out and you start eating the good food. And you're like, I feel good. Because you're being nourished. And it takes time. For some of you guys that have been coming to church here for a long time, you've been nourished for a long time with some broccoli and liver. And when we first started, you're like, bleh. And now you go somewhere else, and they feed you a Twinkie, and you're like, bleh. You know what I'm talking about? But this nourishment, and it's from good doctrine. But then he also says, Timothy, you can't just preach it. You got to live it. And so we also apply this. Because after a while, it becomes you. And so when you spend time in the Word of God, and you're getting the true stuff, all of a sudden now, it becomes you. And you are what you eat. Which is a self-contradicting statement, by the way. I hate that statement. You are what you eat. That means you can't be anything until you eat something. You guys following me? But the point is when you start to really take in the Word of God, it'll start to change your life. And then you start to walk in that. But it's important that we do that. You know, the greatest thing you can say to me as you walk out the door isn't, you gave me something to think about today. The greatest thing to say is, you've given me something to do. Because hearing the Word of God is one thing, but applying it is something totally different. You know how much I love that knowledge is power saying. Knowledge isn't power. It's potential power. It only becomes power when I put it into practice, yeah? I can know something all day long, but if I don't do anything with it, it's useless. It's useless. Verse 7, reject profane and old wives' tale. Now, what in the heck does this mean? It's a lot of the famous sayings that really have nothing to do biblically. They might sound cool and spiritual. Something like, hey, God helps those who help themselves. You ever heard that? That is so against what the Bible says, by the way. That saying is like, I gotta kickstart God. Remember the old days when we used to have real cars, standards, manuals, and they'd never start? So you get your friends, all right, I'm going to pop the clutch, right? And you're pushing it. I was always the one that had to pop the clutch, by the way, just because I didn't want to push the car. And then you pop it. That's what this verse is saying. Don't worry, God. We're going to pop the clutch, and then you can help. The Bible's absolutely opposite of that. God says he helps the helpless. Right? You're destitute. You're destitute. You are broken. There is none righteous, no, not one. This is what people say, well, I got to get my life together before God can intervene. It's like saying, hey, the maid's coming, I need to clean the house. I don't understand that. Ladies, you're going to have to explain. Heidi's tried, but I'm like, they're coming to clean the house. Why do you got to clean the house? Because I don't want them to see it's dirty. It's like, well, then why are they coming? I don't know. I got to clean my life up, God, before you can come clean my life up. Well, if I could clean my life up to begin with, I don't need God. So God helps those who are helpless. False statement. What about this one? You know, brother, everything happens for a reason. I'm probably going to step on some toes today because you're probably like, wait, what's wrong with that? I mean, doesn't the Bible say, you know, all things work together for good? Yeah, you're taking Romans and you're twisting it. Okay? You're trying to make it fit. Because guess what? We live in a fallen world. We live in a fallen world. Now, this does not mean that God can't take what happens and turn it into good for whatever. He uses it for his purposes. But listen, do you think God enjoys sickness and death and disease? And when somebody comes and hurts the innocent, you think God enjoys that? Well, everything happens for a reason. You know, if you told me if my kids got raped and you're going to sit there and go, well, everything happened for a reason, brother, I'm probably going to knock you out. What do you mean? You're going to tell me that God let this happen? No, there's sin in the world. Now, it doesn't mean that God can't bring beauty from those ashes. But everything happens for a reason. No, some things happen because of human's choice. Sin. Fallen nature. What about this one? If you have enough faith, you'll be healed. Am I hitting some nerves today, by the way? Well, yeah, what's wrong with that statement? Yeah, God can heal. But God sometimes says no. Did you know that? So if you had enough faith, this situation would be dealt with. And God says, I'm not going to deal with the situation because I don't want to for whatever reason. His ways are not our ways. But if he says, no, I'm not going to heal that person. No, I'm not going to heal you. No, I'm not going to intervene in that relationship. And you tell me that I don't have enough faith and that's why it's not getting done. Well, then guess what? It puts it back on me. God sometimes says no. God says, yeah, you're sick. And you're going to die, and I'm going to bring you home. And we're like, someone's trying to go to heaven, and we're like holding them back. And I'm like, get off, I'm going to heaven. Because we miss that person. It's hurtful to us, sure. But if we understand that person is a new believer, man. So if you had enough faith, you'd be healed. No. This shames people who are suffering. Oh. Man, what a... Hey, we're all God's children. We're all God's children. Yeah, God created everything, sure. But not everybody's God's child. You're only God's child if you choose to be. I know what you're thinking out there as I'm saying these statements, and you're like, I like these statements. And now you're saying, don't judge me. Oh, that's another one. Do you like how we queued that up? Don't judge me. The Bible says, don't judge me according to John. Again, that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about that hypocrisy, judgmental attitude. In fact, when I say, Don't judge me. I'm judging you for judging me. Self-contradicting statement. Did you know that? Don't judge me. Bible says you can't judge me. Well, how do you know I'm judging you? You're judging me and judging. Okay, we can play ping pong all day long. When somebody passes away, we like to say, heaven gained another angel. No, they didn't. You don't die and become an angel. These things sound good, don't they? But at the core, they're false doctrine. You see where we're going with this? Heaven gained another angel. People do not become angels. Angels are separate creations. And you can you can always tell where somebody's at, whether they use these statements or not. What about this one? God won't give you more than you can handle. How many of you guys believe that today? How many of you guys have said that? Don't raise your hand, please. Let's just internally process this one. Because I'm saying this is bad. Don't stop saying this. Well, wait a minute. The Bible says that in 1 Corinthians 10:13. Again, you're twisting it. Because 1 Corinthians 10:13 is talking about temptation. It's not talking about life situations. You want to go back to the sea? Children of Israel, two mountains, a Red Sea, army, that's more than they can handle. God led them right there. When God says he won't give you more than handle, it's temptation. He's not going to put a carrot there and go, yeah, there's no way you're going to resist this. You're going to fall every time. Lead me not into temptation, right? God doesn't tempt you beyond what you're able. He will always give you a way of escape, is what the Bible says. So in context, he won't give you more temptation than you're able to handle. We like to say that God does. Oh, this temptation was just too much for me. Nope, he won't give you more than you're able to handle in temptation. But he always puts us in front of that Red Sea with two mountains and there. Why? Because he wants to show us, yeah, you can't handle it without me. So he absolutely will give you more than you can handle. He says, my burden, not your burden. Your burden is my burden. I can do what? All things through myself who strengthens me. Huh? No. I can do all things through. So if God won't give you more than you can handle, then you just said that verse is garbage. You see, it's about you when somebody says that. Your words have the power to create reality. Speak it into existence. Words are powerful. Right? Proverbs 18:21. But only God can create a reality with his word. In the beginning, God said. You're not God, folks. Here's my personal favorite. You guys need to listen to me. Tithing guarantees personal blessing. Okay, let me say it again, because you guys are all jumped up and ran to the box. Tithing guarantees financial blessing. Nope. I was joking, by the way. Yeah, generosity pleases God for sure. But you know what? He blesses in many different ways. When you tithe, the windows of heaven are open, yeah, but it doesn't mean that he's going to fill your bank account. He may bless you spiritually, which, by the way, has way more value than gold that's going to be walked upon when we get to heaven. You know, that's 9 of them. I've got 10 of them for you. So the last one, I just want you to take all these and follow your heart.
follow your heart. Your heart will tell you what to do. What is your heart saying?
My Bible says my heart is abundantly wicked.
Wow. We're not to follow our heart. We're to follow the Word of God. The heart is the only thing that is not reborn in you. Did you know that? Your heart, create in me a new heart. That word bara, create, means brand new. He takes your heart and makes it new. He doesn't mend it because your heart is wicked. Guys, don't follow your heart. Your heart's like, today, you know. So my kids have this little group family chat. They call it Dad's Weather Report. It's rainy and cloudy today. You know what that means? Dad's in a bad mood. Oh, it's sunshiny and rainy today. Or sunshiny and... That means Dad's in a good mood. My heart is... Some of it has to do with hormones and imbalances and chemicals. And you guys know all that, right? You know, if I don't eat, I get what's, you know, low blood sugar. I'm like, bah! I can't rely upon that. There's days I feel great. There's days I don't feel great. There's multiple changes in between the days. Every Wednesday, spiritual warfare happens. Did you guys know that? The saying in my house, oh, it's Wednesday morning, don't talk to Dad. And I started to think, why is that? Well, it's Wednesday, we're going to go teach today, and the enemy's jacking with me. Get control of it. Yeah. Follow the Word of God. All right, this is what I have to say about wives' tales, so you can understand where these things sound good, but we got to get to it. And we're told in verse 7 to reject it. And then we too are to exercise ourselves towards godliness. Work it out. It takes effort. Who likes to exercise? Yeah, not very many of you guys, huh? Right? No, you don't like to exercise. Now, Heidi's been doing her Orange Theory thing for a long time, so she's like, yeah, I got to exercise. Right? Because in time, you start to see the benefits of it, and then you start to like it. But getting off the couch for the first time, okay, the first time is easy. Next day, it's like, yeah, I ain't doing that again. It like to kill me. It hurts. You got pain. Listen, spiritually, it's the same way. Start reading my Bible. Start praying. Oh, my gosh, it's so much work. But then after a while, it becomes part of you. And he's going to actually use this reference in verse 8. He says, now bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things. So yeah, I can go exercise and I get a health benefit, yeah? But godly exercise, practicing things like regularly coming to church to be equipped, reading my Bible, spending time in prayer, memorizing, meditating on God's word. These are things that after a while don't just help us in one area in our life. Verse 8 says it helps the entire life. If you get your relationship and stuff right with God, all of the horizontal things within your life become in line as well. So you could be working on this, working on that, working on this, or I could just work on this. And then the fringe benefits, if you will, is that this godliness is profitable for all things. Having the promise of life that is now and that is which to come.
This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. This is faithful and true. You can guarantee it. And so in our lives, what are we doing spiritually to exercise? Our spiritual exercise. This is something we all need to work on, not just, you know, oh, I'm better than you because I do this or I do that. It's not about that. It's not about that. Some of us in here could do 100 push-ups. Some of us in here can do one. Some of us can't even do one. But listen, we all work at our level. It's not about, I can do 100, you can only do one, look at me. No. Discover where you're at and improve from there. Run your own race. So what can you do starting today to exercise spiritually? Think about it. I gave you lots of examples. Hey, let's memorize Psalm 43:5. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Memorize this stuff so that when you get in that funk, you do be like, what's going on in there? Your heart's saying, oh, no, stop it. God died for you. Read your Bible, pray for people. This doesn't take any effort. Throw on an audio Bible as you're driving, as you're walking around, doing whatever you do. Whatever you listen to, change it. Some people say, oh, listen to worship music. Great. But hey, worship music is not the Word of God. Some of it. Listen to the Word of God. Put some music to it if you want. Build this up. Verse 10, for this is the end, we both labor and suffer reproach, right? It takes work, and you'll get resistance, you'll get reproach. Sound doctrine has resistance, because not everybody wants to hear the truth. Amos tells us that in the end times, which by the way, we're there, says there'll be famine in the land. And not talking about food or water famine. We're talking about spiritual famine and the true sound doctrine famine. Timothy goes on. We're going to read it probably when we get into the next book. But he says in the end, they'll want their ears tickled. They won't listen to sound doctrine. They want to hear those fables. They want to hear God helps those who helps themselves. It sounds great. This is the end, we labor and suffer reproach. Because we trust in the big word, living God. Living God. My God's not dead on a cross, which you'll see in a lot of churches. My God's not there. He's risen. He's alive. He's not died on the cross. He's living, who is the Savior of all men, right? The offers on the table, for God so loved the world. But not everybody's going to believe. For God so loved the world, but whosoever shall believe. And that's what he goes on to say, especially those who believe. Yeah, God died for everybody. He forgave everybody's sins. But unless you receive that gift, it's not yours. Right? If I had $1 million and I put it up here, right, and you don't come and claim it, you can't say, oh, I've got $1 million up there on the table. No, it ain't yours. It's not yours until you redeem it, right? Turn the coupon in. That you accredit it, you reckon it towards your account. That's what happens. And there's a lot of people that leave the $1 million on the table. He goes on and he says it again. These things command and teach. That's what it's all about. Our focus is to teach this and command this stuff. Expect it. Give the order to do it. Totally different thought of what we thought church was, huh? Verse 12, let no one despise your youth. He's probably in his 30s. So people are like, oh yeah, you're still wet behind the ears. But he says, but be an example. Because if you're an example, if you are living it, your testimony, which is evidence given, your witness is evidence given, not just the words you say, but do you live it? You know how many people run around out there and say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, I do this, I do this, I do this, and they're nowhere in church. They're nowhere living the Word of God. They're running their mouth. They're a Christian in name only. Right? That's like me saying, I'm a vegetarian, but I sure eat my share of pork. I could run around and tell everybody that all day long and then go home and eat me a hamburger. And I got the world fooled. Yeah? And people, oh no, that person's a veggie. They told me so. Live it. Be an example. You know, this person says they're a Christian, but you know, it's funny because I never see them reading their Bible. I never see them praying. I never see them fellowshipping. I never see them doing this stuff. So, well, that's okay because you know what? My God is in my whatever I do, my hobby. Okay. The Bible says, he just said it, command it. Do not forsake the gathering of the elect. It's important. Sound doctrine. Well, I listen to 20 different pastors on the internet. Holy cow. It's like having 20 wives. Which one do I listen to? Can't even listen to the one. Are you hearing me? She says. I'm like, I'm trying. But live in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Be the example. And then he says this, because remember, he's wanting to come to the church of Ephesus. He says, until I come, give attention. Focus on the word. And that's how you define a true church of God. Do they focus on the word? Don't neglect the gift that is in you. We'll end with this because this is something that we all need to hear today. God has given everybody in here a gift. Are you neglecting it? Are you neglecting it? Well, I'm not quite ready. Then you're neglecting it. You know, there's a parable. You know, I give with whatever I have been given. Maybe that's just 1 cent. Maybe for some others, that's a whole bunch. And I'm using money so that we can understand. So if I have a little bit of gifting, then I give a little of that gifting back. If I have a whole lot of gifting, then I'm going to give a whole lot of gifting back. And what I just did there was I took away everybody's excuse. Give what you got. The most important thing you can do right now is to ask the Lord what your gift is. And if you need help with that, we can help you with that. What is your gift? And I'll tell you, if you're sorting it out, here's what you do. You step out in faith and go, okay, I'm going to try this. I'll go help teach the kids. After the first Sunday, yeah, that wasn't for me. Okay, that wasn't for you. It was really hard. You didn't enjoy it. It was laborsome. Probably not your gift. Okay, let me try this. Wow, that just came so easy. I enjoyed doing it. Didn't have to work very hard at it. It just kind of came naturally. Check. And maybe you've got to test a few things out to discover what it is. But what am I doing, guys? I'm testing things out. I'm doing something. I'm not sitting there on the chair going, well, God still hasn't spoken to me yet. Okay? The analogy, God can't drive a parked car. Right? Step out. Test the waters, if you will. See what God has for you. But listen, imagine this. Imagine what kind of church we could be if everybody used their gifting to whatever degree that is. Whatever it is. And that is a challenge for us because you need to be using it. You need to be doing something. Don't neglect it. That's like giving, God's given me a gift and I put it in my pocket. If I gave you a gift and you're like, hey, did you use this thing I made you or whatever? And you're like, yeah, no. Oh, really? It can do so much for you. It breaks the heart of God when you don't use the gift that he has given you to his glory. And it said it was given to you by prophecy, given to you by truth, by the foretelling of truth, the laying on the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Keep them always in your mind. Give yourself entirely to them. We are to give ourselves entirely to these scriptural things, that your progress may be evident to all. And when you start doing this, exercising in the word, nourishing your body with the word of God, being the example, using your gift, all of a sudden, people are going to see it. And guess what you're doing? That is your witness. That is your testimony. That is your evidence. And then also, you're going to stir others. People are going, man, that person's really growing a lot in God. What are they doing? And you're going to encourage them. You're a witness to them. Take heed. Listen, take heed. This is important. Take heed. Take particular attention. Pay particular attention to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. Stay in the Bible. Key word, continue. I'm taking a break from the Lord. No. Taking a break and reading my Bible. No. It's just so hard. You don't understand. I'm so busy. No. Your spiritual condition, and yes, that involves reading the Bible, prayer, and coming to church. These are essentials that I don't care. If you let these things fall, you're going to become weak in all the other areas in your life. Trust me. Take heed for yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. Doing this will save yourself and the others who hear you. Don't be that person. Well, I used to go to church. And you may not say that, but other people will see it in your lives. Wow. Chapter 4. The danger of falling away. We talked about that last week and what that meant. Versus the training in righteousness. You just got a training program. Just got it. I would encourage you this week to continue to read this. Ask the Lord, what does this mean for me? What is my gift? How can I implement this into my life? Am I really doing this? And don't get into this like, oh, well, I'm excusing it away for whatever. Ask yourself that tough question. Is the Lord really the priority of my life? Yeah? We're all busy, folks. We're all busy. We all have a lot going on. But it doesn't matter. God needs to be in first place. Have no other gods before me. Let nothing else get before me. Lord, we forgive us for allowing things to get in front of us. Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit would just fall upon this place and ignite a fire in us. That we would seek you fervently, more than ever. Because we're told in Matthew that if we seek first the kingdom of God, all these other things we're concerned about, well, they'll take care of themselves. And Lord, maybe we were listening to some of those things that we went over today, that at the core of them are actually speaking against true doctrine. And it doesn't mean that it's bad or anything. It just means we need to come closer to you. We need to know you more. And that's really what it's all about, is to know you more through your word, through fellowship, through prayer, through our giftings. Lord, if there's anybody here today that is still struggling with what their gift is, and it doesn't matter, there's nobody here too old, too young, not gifted enough. No, none of that exists, because it's your gift, and your gift has made room for you, the Lord says. Forgive us for neglecting our gifts, Lord. Lord, thank you for dying on the cross, because all these things are possible because you first loved us. Lord, I do believe, and I ask you to say this prayer with me. I do believe that Jesus died for me on my sins, on my cross. I believe that he was placed in the tomb, and on the third day, I believe he rose again, and I declare him as my Lord and my Savior. I receive the Holy Spirit, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me today. Thank you, Lord. To your name, we give all the praise, the glory, and the honor, the name above all names, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.